Good morning. It's good to have you listening to us this morning. We're coming to you from the Eddy Baptist Church. My name is Ray Higginbotham, and I'm the pastor of the church. Permit me this morning to pray with you and ask God's blessings not only on our time together, but on your life. Each of us have needs, and the Lord said for us to cast all of our care on Him. And so we're privileged to do that, and we make our requests known unto Him. So let's pray together. Our Father, this morning we do make our request to You that You would bless Your people. Lord, I pray that You'd uphold them by Your power and blessings. And we're making our request today for Your blessings upon those that may be out there that have sick bodies that and others that have troubled waters. There's someone out there that their heart is just overwhelmed. Lord, I pray, as the songwriter said, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. And, oh, Lord, we come because come to You because You bid us come. You said, call upon Me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We thank You for the blessed assurance that You hear our prayers. The psalmist said, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. And we come today asking Your blessings with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. I would ask you to turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes, just to look at a couple of verses there. And then we'll go to the several verses in the book of Proverbs and may the Lord bless you in our study today. Let us hear verse 13 in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 begins. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. It's very important that we understand the fear of God. We think about fear of God, and we read in many times in different Bibles the reverential awe of God, and that's very true, to reverence God. We're taught in the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that He gave to the disciples, hallowed be Thy name, and indeed He is holy and set apart. There's none like unto Him. For He said in His word, come unto Me all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and there's none beside Me. The fear of the Lord is reverential trust indeed. We trust Him. He tells us to trust Him with all of our hearts. And we come to Him in trust and faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Also, we find in fear a wholesome dread, I believe, of displeasing Him. My, how our hearts sometimes wander. But oh, that we would please God with our actions, our words, our deeds of our life. And we need to be understand that it's to our detriment to go walk away from God and not seeking to please Him in our life and in the deeds of our life. And then, again, there must be an awareness that God knows all about us. And in the book of Hebrews in chapter 4, we have some verses that is often quoted. I often go to those verses. They're tremendous verses that have been an inspiration to me. Many years ago, I had a friend named Max Prouty. And Brother Max was a mentor to me. He blessed my life. And I often heard him speak concerning the book of Hebrews. He loved the book of Hebrews, and he went there often. In the book of Hebrews in chapter 4 and verse 12, we have these words, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit," in other words, joints and marrow, "and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Oh, that we would take out God's book and read. Find a resting place somewhere and relax before a holy God. Maybe even on our knees, say, oh, God, speak to me through your word. The next verse is a very powerful verse to our hearts. If we would look at it and just reach down into it and gather what it says unto ourselves. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And so if it's a secret here on earth, it's an open scandal in heaven. And then as we think about the fear of God, is that one day we'll give an account to him. We'll give an accounting of the things that we've done in our bodies, whether good or bad. And it will either be wood, hay, and stubble, or gold and silver and precious stones. More than reverential trust, the fear of God, to reverence him, it's a wholesome thing. There must be that awareness in our lives. And we must be assured that God's watching over us. What a wonder that is. He's got ministering spirits that minister to us. Angelic hosts, if you please, watching over us. I used to love to hear George Beverly Shea sing, "Them angels are watching over me." Indeed, isn't it a wonder of God's grace? Them angels watching over us. Now, if we have much concern over what man thinks, how much more should we be concerned about what God thinks, or how God evaluates things? He evaluates our thoughts, our words, our actions, our attitudes, our motives, our disposition. He knows all about us. Look at Proverbs 29 and verse 25. Just past the book of Psalms, the book of Proverbs, chapter 29 and verse number 25. Verse 25 reads, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." Oh, I love that haven. He's our rock, he's our refuge, and he has invited us to come to him. What a refuge, what a place to kneel down. What a comfort in the presence of a holy God. In Genesis chapter 16 and verse 13, we find these words spoken, "Thou God seest me. Thou knowest my downsittings, my uprisings. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off." Psalm 139 and verse 2. And then in Psalm 139 and verse 4, we read, "For there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Yea, the darkness hideth from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike unto thee." Psalm 139 and verse 12. And then in Proverbs 15 and verse 3, we find, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." And then in 2 Corinthians 5, that place of accounting, verse 10 reads, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad." And then in Psalm 94 and verse 9, we have another verse. "He that planteth the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see?" Another verse, very powerful verse, in Proverbs 5 and verse 21. "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings." The fear of the Lord, the Bible teaches us, is the beginning of knowledge. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. And then in Psalm 11 and verse 4, we read, The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. And then that awesome verse in Jeremiah chapter 16 and verse 17. For mine eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes. Luke 8, verse 17, consider this. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Now, these things being true, God's inerrant, infallible word speaks to us, and that wonderful love of God would nurture us through this word, the ever-living word of our Lord. Therefore, whatsoever is spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetop. Then we ask the question, how would the fear of God change our lives? How would it change your life? How would it change my life day by day, hour by hour, individually? How would it change our life? Well, if we lived in a daily reality that God is watching, that would be a change, wouldn't it? We would probably evaluate everything we do. And the fact that he's publicly going to expose and judge every secret thing, would our thoughts change? What words would not be spoken? What actions would seize? What body language we would use and not speak a word, but yet tear some person down in our agreement, just the nod of our head when someone is tearing someone else apart with words, piercing words, words that hurt, words that damage, and words that will cause a person's heart to be filled with anxiety. Hurt runs deep. What attitude would we correct? What motives would we purify? Then we ask the question, how's a wholesome fear of God different from destructive fear of Satan? One of the names of Satan given in the Bible in the book of the Revelation is Apollyon. And that means destroyer. And another thing that we understand from the scriptures is not only that fact that he's a destroyer, but he is the accuser of the brethren. Should we join hands with our arch enemy and accuse our very own? It's significant that the Hebrew and Greek words that are used concerning wholesome fear and destructive fear, they're not different at all. The two fears are found and the two words are used in the same context. They are the very same word. The fear of man, or Satan brings a snare, we read, but the fear of God brings blessings. There are many blessings involved in concerning the fear of God. We can overcome sinful habits by our fear of God. Proverbs 16:6 tells us that. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Hallelujah for the scriptures. To begin learning knowledge, Proverbs 1:7 tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. To start being wise, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Oh, how we need that in our day. and we can have a longer life. Look at Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. I think of Ephesians chapter 6, where the scriptures tells us to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And then the admonition to the children is to honor their parents, that things may be well with them, that they may live long on the earth. We can learn contentment through the fear of the Lord, for it tells us in Proverbs 15:16, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. And in Proverbs 14:27, we discover the fountain of life, which Ponce de Leon sought to find. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. And to grow in wisdom, we find in chapter 15 and verse 23 these words: the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, before honor is humility. And to get riches and honor in life, a verse that in my heart has blessed me so many times: by humility and fear of the Lord are right riches and honor and life. And then to experience true worship. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Is your heart crying out? Or is there wantonness? Is it an outcry within your innermost being saying, oh God, move upon my life? Then I would exhort you, as I have been exhorted so many times by the blessed Holy Spirit, take ye out the word of the Lord and read. Not one of these shall fail. None shall lose her mate. Experience our strong confidence in the Lord. One more verse, Proverbs 14 and verse 26. The fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. He's not only an anchor of our soul, both sure and steadfast, as the book of Hebrews tells us, but he's the anchor. Does your anchor hold within the veil? Have you made your peace with God, as the old country preacher used to say? As God called to you, Jesus is calling. He's calling many times weary people, his people, to the rest that he has for them. There's no rest outside of him. There's no peace outside of him. May God bless you in this day. And may it be a day, a prosperous day, for your soul. May God bless you in the coming week. Thank you.